You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 5 August. United States durable goods, excluding defense data, out earlier this morning, minus 9.4 for June. That's down from plus 15.5 in May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Petli Radenhurst, Herenia Capital Advisors. We've seen a strong update from Goldfields. We saw strong numbers from AngloGold Ashanti on Friday. Is he still bullish gold? And which miner would be his preferred? Bruce Strong, CEO and Impact. Tough set of numbers. Plastic is particularly struggling. And then Bastian Trajiba from Prescient Investment Managers. Impact of tariffs starting on Thursday. Should be worried about a new round of high inflation globally. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Naspers exec sells 240 million rand in stock. The CEO of the SA business disposed of shares to cover taxes and other related costs. Business Day, Sibanye urges US to impose tariff on Russian palladium imports. Obtaining relief from dumped sustainable imports will give miner a chance to compete on a level playing field, according to Neil Froneman. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 1.5%, Nasdaq up 1.9%. The East is green. Sydney 0.3 higher. Tokyo up 0.6. Hong Kong and Tencent both 0.2% higher. Commodities mostly green. Gold futures 3,428. Brent is red at 68.54. Platinum is 1,337. And palladium is flat at 1,219. The rand 17.94. Bitcoin 114,300. And top 40 opening call 570 points to the green, 0.6% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Petri Radenhurst, Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, appreciate the early morning. As I mentioned in the intro there, we saw updates from Goldfield, really strong. Results from AngloGold Ashanti, really strong. None of those surprises with the gold price where it currently is. Futures trading above 3,400. Are you still bullish on gold?
Good morning, Simon. And yes, this is the shortest way that I can answer that. I'm still quite bullish on gold. I don't know. I think that if we look at stuff like the US dollar index, for example, that has been on a downward slant for some time now. We know that commodities have sort of an inverse relationship with that. So it's a bit of a lagging response. So we saw commodities really kind of, I want to say, bottoming potentially in April this year. So as the dollar index continues to move lower, so commodities go up and gold leads the way, right? Yeah. So gold has found a bit of resistance now. You mentioned the futures is up above 3,400, but it hasn't managed to get through, if you look at the spot market at least, through 3,430 for some time. It's tested there four times now. Mm-hmm. But I think that eventually when we do break above that level, then, you know, it's a strong uptrend into record high territory. We've had a bit of a consolidation now since April, ironically, while the other commodities have been running. But I think if we see, you know, this gold sort of break above 3,430 on the spot market at least, that we probably push for new highs. And until then, you know, you can see the results coming through in the gold mining companies. Yep. You've got very high gold prices doing, you know, fantastically well for these companies. And we know that generally the miners are very highly geared. And if you consider that a lot of these companies are nowhere near their all-time highs, I mean, if you look at something like AngloGold, for example, that has, you know, quite a bit of upside, if you will.
If we're touching on stocks, which is your preferred? I mean, there's a fair bunch out there. And on the one side, we've sort of got the higher risk, and then we've got sort of the more mature. Which would be your preferred in the space?
Well, we like AngloGold because there's the potential of a buyout. We also are long Harmony at the moment. Mm-hmm. So these are the ones that we would say we prefer. I mean, something like Harmony trading 274, it's not sort of, I mean, the highs are closer to 350. So that's quite a bit of upside on a stock that we know, you know, the main trade, the basically the only thing that it trades in is trading at all-time highs. So it feels like there's a bit of a free call option, right? If you go long Harmony with gold essentially at all-time highs or very, very close to it, Harmony should close that gap very quickly, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, they're all doing absolutely excellent. But yeah, there are some nuances there. We'll leave it there. Petri Oudenhuis, Herenia Capital Advisors, and that's our poll today, is around gold. Are you looking for gold to run higher? Are you still bullish? Petri says absolutely. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the Stanlib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting to Bruce Strong, CEO at Impact. We got results for 6 months ending June. Saw revenue up 3.2%, HEPS of 27, and dividend unchanged at 30 cents. Bruce, before we dig into numbers, the fruit sector continues to look good for yourselves. Are you expecting much hit from the tariffs, or is this going to sort of more be on the edges?
Look, I think the tariffs are a concern generally, not only in fruit, but generally. Sure. So that should be mentioned. The important thing to look at with our tariffs is the context of how much of our fruit actually goes to the U.S.
Yeah.
On the citrus side, it's less than 10%. And I think on the grape side, it's probably also less than 10%. So, you know, that on the in the bigger scheme, that's not a huge proportion. But yeah, in certain areas of our country, it's a big proportion of their production. And so I think that's one thing to just bear in mind. Having said that, I must say one has to admire the ingenuity and resilience of our fruit producers in South Africa, who have built over several generations massive businesses and been through many ups and downs without a lot of government support.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that and through the Citrus Growers Association and organizations like South African Table Grape Industry Association, you know, they managed to open up markets in the most difficult times. So while the short term is looking pretty grim and we need something to be done with a trade situation with the U.S., I think in the medium term we should see something come through.
Yeah, I take your point. 10% might be meaningful for individuals, but not maybe so much for the industry. But they'll make a plan because this is what we do in South Africa. Let's touch on the paper business. Revenue up nicely, up 6.9%, offset by some higher recovered paper prices, energy costs, and the like. A good but tricky period for paper.
Yeah, I'd say that in this, under the circumstances, it's quite encouraging to see that we're on the bottom part of the cycle in the paper industry, especially in recycled containerboard. And in that part of the cycle, we're able to keep our paper mills fully sold with pretty good profitability on the containerboard side, which sort of demonstrates that our investment in our Felixton paper mill a couple of years ago and the current investment of $1.3 billion at Mkhondo paper mill are aligned to the right sort of sectors. And also give us great hope for the future. And the one business that we do struggle with there is our cartonboard business. And it's not because of a lack of trying. We've got really committed and dedicated staff there. But they're in a tough market because we don't have a globally competitive paper mill. And the Chinese produce cartonboard. So we are seeing cheaper imports or Asian countries, cheaper imports at the moment. And to maintain our position, we are having to drop price or shed sales. So that's a bit more of a challenge. And we'll have to figure that one out in the upcoming period. The increased recovered paper costs were a challenge in the last 6 months, but we do believe those will moderate in the second 6 months. And we should see the margins restore somewhat, but not entirely.
And there was, I mean, we would have chatted 6 months ago. It would have been your year-end numbers. And you were talking around sort of increasing the export, displacing imports. And my sense is that strategy's worked to a fair degree.
Indeed. On containerboard, that's worked very well. And my exports are up 46% and profitably. And our domestic market sales are also up. So in that particular market, containerboard, that has been a good approach. And fortunately, it's paid off in the last period.
You mentioned the upgrade project to the mill. How's that proceeding? And what are sort of your timelines for that to be completed?
So it's proceeding very well. We are due to be completed by the end of September. We should have everything commissioned and, you know, running. And thereafter, we'll enter a period of optimization where we will ramp up the production of both the sodium lignosulfonate powder, which is to be exported, and also the paper grades that are going to be made as a consequence of the increased demand from the fruit sector. But that will only be absorbed into the market as and when it's needed. Mm-hmm. But the SLS powder, we hope next year to see quite a good contribution from the sales of that powder in the market.
Plastics business under some pressure, but you do make the point that you typically have your second half is typically stronger, and you're expecting that to play through in this year as well.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, it's not really fair to judge the plastics business performance on half year, because a lot of the, like our bins and crates business, we produce a lot to stock, which we sell in the second half at pretty good margins. So we do normally see a great improvement in the second half. And this year, for a variety of reasons, we are expecting our profitability to be up quite substantially on the prior year and perhaps even on 2023. So we should see some of the benefits of the projects that we've undertaken in that business paying off by the end of the year.
And this has been, and I mentioned a moment ago in terms of the strategies around the paper, I mean, there has been a sort of an impact focusing on better margin businesses and, you know, expanding where you've got sort of the great potential. And that's really played out well. It's tough conditions out there, but it is coming through, and we can see it happening in the numbers.
Yes, there's no doubt that is contributing now. It's not to say that the results are by any means good. I mean, they missed our own targets and they were below our own expectations. But it at least sort of says at the bottom of the cycle, we are still able to hold our own and we're still profitable. So I think the operating leverage and all that comes through as a market turns will be good for us.
A last question, and you and I have chatted solar PV many times. You're now generating 16 megawatts. And this actually is saving you money. I mean, and I remember at the time you were saying, yeah, it's about Eskom, but actually it's about cheaper power. It saves you 20 million.
Correct. And we are busy now installing another 4.8, just short of 5 megawatts, which will be complete early next year. And we're contemplating an investment at our Mkhondo paper mill for another 66 megawatts.
Wow.
Well, half of that we'd use behind the meter, hopefully between ourselves and our neighbors, but the balance we'd have to sell. The economics of selling solar PV at the moment don't seem as compelling as they were maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So it's not a slam dunk, but certainly we are looking at that. And then we've also entered into some wheeling agreements for power that we're buying. And that's, first of all, to save money, to be frank, but it also gives the carbon benefits at the same time.
We'll leave it there. Bruce Strong, CEO of Impact. Appreciate the time.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Bastian Tuchiba. He is Chief Investment Officer at Prescient Investment Management. Bastian, appreciate the early morning. Trump's tariffs due to come in 1 minute past midnight on Thursday. I suppose first question, it looks like they're finally going to roll, although we've been having 10% tariffs around the world since April. How significant are they for global markets? And I suppose, what are you sort of keeping an eye on? What are you watching closely to see the impact?
Thanks, Simon, for having me on your show. Yeah, I guess it looks like the tariffs are coming at 30% on Thursday night. You're spot on. It's unlikely that we will strike another trade deal before that deadline. So I think we missed the first deadline on the 1st of August. So there's little optimism here to avoid the tariffs. So that will hit us eventually. And what it means, obviously, for us in South Africa and for the global economy itself, and with that for global markets, it's not a good thing, because you obviously see pressure on inflation, which is really not the main worry which we have, because we think that will blow off quite quickly. But what we are worried about is the impact on global growth. And the impact on global growth could be quite significant, just slowing down the global economy, which is already slowing. And with that, eventually that will roll over to South Africa, because we have a quite high exposure to the global economy. So we'll definitely feel it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to feel it. And I take a point on inflation. It might run, but it'll perhaps pass quick. I mean, does this lead to sort of a global risk aversion and potentially then affecting capital flows into emerging markets? And perhaps, most, you know, obviously we're an emerging market here, and we might sort of lose some of that money that would normally flow as we get that risk aversion.
Yeah, that's spot on again. I mean, the reality is that South Africa is a small yet very open economy, so we are completely subject to the ebb and flow of global capital markets. So if money flows to emerging markets because global investors are more in the mood of taking a little bit more risk, then we will feel that in a positive way. We'll normally feel that in our bo government bond market being stronger, our currency being stronger, our equities being stronger. As I said, all our shares, all our markets, all our asset classes are quite strongly linked to the global economy. So a slowdown, and particularly one which is driven by tariffs, which are also directly impacting us here in South Africa, we won't feel it in a good way. It raises caution, that's for sure.
And how you and your colleagues at Prescient, how are you sort of thinking about positioning a portfolio in light of this?
Yeah, that's important to understand, because we do generally not structure portfolios for certain political events. I don't think that's a sustainable approach. You need to create portfolios which are well diversified, very risk cognizant, which are able to weather the storm, whichever capital markets scenarios play out. And that's how we do it. So we're not particularly worried. We know that the way we built the portfolios is quite resilient. But at the heart of all of it is obviously diversification. So you don't want to have too much exposure to certain asset classes. You want to be diversified. You don't want to have too much exposure to risky asset classes. And in those risky asset classes, don't want to have too much exposure to certain sectors, not even to say individual shares. So diversification is king. A conservative portfolio, which also holds asset classes or sectors which can benefit from these tariffs, and then just don't bet on one political outcome or event, because that will eventually be wrong. Just have a very, very broad mix of asset classes which can weather the storm quite
Well,
nicely.
what would be some of the sectors that would be sort of most at risk, and then on the flip side, some sectors that are potentially could benefit?
Naturally, mostly at risk would be the sectors which are directly impacted by the tariffs, right? So in South Africa, even if it's not the biggest portion of our exports, but our industrials and our automotive exports would be directly hit. So for those guys, the demand from the States will just immediately drop quite significantly. So that's where we will feel it. If you look into our banking sector, there's little exports going on, but you are still quite linked to the global economy, and with that to the South African economy, and you will not benefit from a potentially weaker rand. So here you just generally also feel the downside. Potential beneficiaries would be obviously commodity exporters, which are linked to more risk of commodities. So if you like precious metals like gold exporters or platinum exporters, those stocks should normally benefit from two effects. First of all, a potentially weaker rand in that scenario, but also from the fact that the demand for gold or platinum goes up in a risk off world. So there's a lot of ways to structure a very strong resilient portfolio. You must just blend all the solutions together.
You've mentioned not to position a portfolio for political narrative, and I completely get that. If nothing else, there's elections every couple of years, and you're just going to get whipsawed. But if we're entering an era of protectionism, and that certainly does seem to be in part the Trump policy, I mean, how do long-term investors sort of think about this, as we do have what is perhaps a fairly significant geopolitical shift happening?
I guess you're right on the geopolitical shift. So certainly the tariffs are higher now than they've been before the Trump administration's moves. Yet a lot of the tariffs have also been taken off. We do think that a lot of the tariffs are here to stay. So we'll totally agree with what you said on the geopolitical shifts and the more protectionist area. Also, because Trump seems to use those tariffs more and more, not just to threaten and strike trade deals, but also to generate revenue. So they're here to stay. And with that, you will need to live with the implications. What are the implications, and how do you build a portfolio more sustainable over the long term? Well, we run optimizations which take into consideration your long-term expected returns on all asset classes across the globe, right? So what we would do in a scenario like that, we would potentially adjust downwards our long-term expected returns for certain sectors, long-term expected returns for certain equities, rerun the optimization, and you obviously end up with a slightly more conservative portfolio.
Yeah, I hear you, absolutely. Sort of adjusting accordingly, being a little more conservative. We leave it there. That's Bertrand Tsochebe. He is Chief Investment Officer, Prescient Investment Management. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. I was chatting with Nick Kunze yesterday, Sanlam Private Wealth, talking around that tariff and asking you how badly you think it'll hit the local exchange. Almost half said very bad, a third said hardly at all. The rest asked if the tariffs will even happen. Looks like Thursday, minute past midnight. Although, to be clear, Washington time, not Joburg time. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Norbochle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating in your podcatcher of choice and an awesome review. We'll chat again tomorrow. Chantal Marks.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.